Thank you, guys. That's as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day, to the day that we celebrate the advent of the Lord Jesus. We've been spending the past several weeks talking about how God is with us, how this story of Jesus is coming reveals to us that God is with us, but not just that God is with us, but that God is with us individually. And so all throughout this story of Jesus' coming, you see it made evident that God is with all these different kinds of people. God is with those who have trouble trusting. God is with the doubters. God is with the those who are forgotten, who are pushed aside, who seem insignificant to this world. God is with the lowly. God is with the outcasts and the isolated. God is with the marginalized. God is with the rejects. And so every week this week, we discover how the coming of Jesus actually means that he's with us, because all of us fall into one or more of these categories of people that we're talking about. Yesterday I was at the hospital, and I was visiting with a precious family from our church. I was visiting with Randy Plank, and Randy has been struggling, battling cancer for a couple of years now, and he's in the hospital late last week. He was moved into palliative care, and the doctor told Kathy and Randy that that he has hours and maybe days to live. And so I went to the hospital and hung out with them, prayed with them, and just spent some time with that family. You know, this time of year, so much of it is supposed to be about celebrating and togetherness, but I've spoken with so many of you, and you have shared, you've shared stories with me about loss in your life, people that you care about that have passed away. Some of you, even really recently, somebody's really precious to you who's not going to be here with you this Christmas. We have all kinds of stories of loss. Sometimes loss is a person that we love that's passed away. Sometimes it's a relationship that's meaningful or significant to us that for whatever reason is ended. And sometimes it's a dream that we had, something that we believed that we were going to do or be that feels like it's been taken from us. And so a lot of times when we get together around this time of year, some of us are just, we're dealing with loss. There's a hole there. And as we celebrate and as we gather together, there are people that we love that aren't there with us. And so we know how that feels, many of us gathered here this morning. And all of us, in one way or another, either we've experienced this, either we are experienced this, or we have in the recent past, or we know somebody who's walking through it. All of us here this morning can say that we've been touched in one way or another by grief. We've experienced the sting of loneliness. We know what that's like. And the good news is in the story of Jesus, we see that Jesus' coming means that God is with people who feel like us. God is with people who are grieving. God is with people who are lonely. And if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 36, we're going to read about a person who is experiencing some of the same things that you and I are experiencing this morning. And we're going to talk about what her story, her part in this story means for us today. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 2 says this: Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years, and then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. So this is the story of Anna. Anna, who was married to her husband for only 7 years. Anna, who, when she got married, I'm sure she had all kinds of dreams about what her life was going to be like, about the family that she was going to have, about all of the holidays, all of the feasts, all of the festivals that she was going to be spending with her husband as they grew old together. And then after just a short period of time together, that plan that she had for her life, that dream that she had for her life, was tragically altered. And I know that there are some folks who here this morning, and in some ways that's where you're living today. Something has happened in your life, and this dream that you had, this plan that you had, this way that you envisioned your future going has suddenly and nauseatingly been tragically changed. And as we enter into this season of Advent, you've been struggling with that. You've been wondering, what does life look like? How do I go through this season with this grief? And I want you to know, I believe that the Lord has a word for you and I this morning, if that's where we are. The question before you and I this morning is the same question that was before Anna. She woke up the morning after her husband had passed away. The question that was before her is the same one that many of us are dealing with, the same one that many of us who are watching on the live stream may be dealing with this morning. How should we respond to loss, to grief, to loneliness? Let's zero in, if we can, on verse 37, because I believe verse 37 has some answers for us. In verse 37 of chapter 2, it says this: "Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. And here it is: she never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer." So we're going to talk about some truths from this passage of Scripture that are real and I think helpful for all of us who are gathered here, no matter what stage of life we're at, okay? These truths are applicable to all of us, but particularly for those of us who are walking through a difficult season, particularly for those of us who, like Anna, are dealing with grief and dealing with loss. There's someone who is supposed to be here with us this Christmas, and they're not. If we're dealing with that this morning, then I believe these truths are particularly for you. But let's talk about how we respond when we're faced with loss, with grief, with loneliness. How do we respond? Here's what the Word of God says. The first thing that we ought to do is turn to God. Turn to God. I mean, that's what Anna did. I imagine Anna on the morning after this tragedy, her husband has passed, and she wakes up on the morning after this tragedy, and she has to just fall to her knees and seek after the Lord. What else is there available to her in that moment, right? And so she experiences this terrible loss. She's overwhelmed, overcome with grief. And her response, we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, she never left the temple. She went to the temple. That's how she responded. She turned her heart to God. And we see this all throughout Scripture, actually. In the book of Job, Job has messengers come to him and tell him that tragedy after tragedy after tragedy has struck him and his family. And the last thing they tell him is that his children were killed in an awful accident. So they come and they tell Job all these horrible things that have happened. And then Job chapter 1, verse 20, here's what it says. It says, "Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship." Job's response, when he was faced with overwhelming loss and overwhelming grief, was to turn his heart to God. That sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a platitude when I say that? Turn your heart to God. And I'm sure there's someone out there who's hearing me say this who's like, "Gosh, Brad, you make that sound so simple, right? That you make that sound so easy. You don't understand what I'm dealing with right now. You don't understand the sorrow and the grief that I'm dealing with." And I want to say a couple of things to you. First, no, I don't. I've not ever walked in your shoes, okay? I've not ever experienced what it is that you're experiencing right now. I don't know how you're feeling, right? I do know about loss. I do know about heartache. I do know about grief. I do know about loneliness a little bit, though. But let me tell you a story that I often think of whenever I think about this. whenever I think about what it means to turn my heart to God when I'm feeling alone, when I'm grieving, when I'm experiencing loss. My good friend, Sean, he's like a member of Amy's family, very close to Amy and I. He was one of eight people who were shot and killed at Wedgwood Baptist Church in September of 1999. A person walked into the church that night, a lost, confused, hurting person walked into the church that night with a firearm, and he took the life of seven people, including himself. Eight people died. My friend Sean was one of those people. Sean was in seminary. His job was he drove a bus for a halfway house where folks who have disabilities lived. He would drive them around to go to the grocery store or to wherever it is that they needed to go, doctor's appointments. He was a giver. He loved Jesus. He was called to ministry, and his life was committed to that. He was about to celebrate his second anniversary, and his life was tragically taken from him. And we went to his funeral at the chapel at Southwestern Seminary, and his widow, Kathy, we were all kind of anticipating, you know, seeing her and trying to minister to her some way. But what happened that day was that she ministered to all of us in a way that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. We're gathered in the chapel at Southwestern Seminary. Grief so thick in the air you could cut it with a knife, right? And the doors opened at the back of the chapel, and Kathy and her family came walking down the aisle of the chapel. Every head, every eye turned to them, because we were really there to try to comfort and help her, right? As they came into the chapel at Southwestern Seminary, they came in singing. And these are the words they sang. These are the words that my friend Kathy sang as she came into a room where we were gathered to mourn the loss of her husband. This is what she sang. "Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name." She kept walking all the way down to the front. And as they walked all the way down to the front, she continued singing. She sang these words, "I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you." When she made it to the front of that auditorium, she fell to her knees, and with tears streaming down her face, she lifted her arms to the heavens, and she sang those words at the top of her lungs. Now look, I'm not trying to tell you that her heart was not broken in that moment. I'm not trying to tell you that she didn't have questions that she was wrestling with God through. I'm not trying to tell you that in that moment everything was made right and all of the pain and the grief and the sorrow was lifted from her. I'm not trying to tell you any of that. In fact, if she was standing here today, she would tell you that's not what happened. But what did happen is we all watched that young lady place her faith and her hope and her trust in a God who loved her deeply, and a God who loves you deeply. And she experienced His presence. That's what Advent is. And that's what Anna did. She turned her heart to God. If you're here this morning and you are grieving, you are mourning, if you're here this morning and grief makes you wonder if you're going to be able to take another step forward, if you're wondering how you're going to survive this season, can I just please give you one small word of advice that I have known to be true over the course of my life, and really just over the course of the past couple of years, even more richly than I've ever known it before. In the midst of your grief, God can be trusted. You can turn your heart to God. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. All of us here, no matter what we're facing, that's the first step for any of us. The second thing, though, turn our heart to God. The second thing that we need to do is devote ourselves to knowing God. Devote ourselves to knowing God. See, here's the thing about grief. Grief is not just a moment in time. You don't experience a heavy loss and feel all the grief that comes with that. And then maybe a couple of days later, you're like, oh, good, I'm over it, right? That's not the way grief works. And those of us who've actually walked through grief, we understand you never stop walking through it. You never stop missing a person that you've loved and that you've lost. That never goes away. And Anna woke up the morning after her husband died, and she woke up into a world where he wasn't there with her, right? And the same thing happened the next morning. And the same thing happened the next morning. And the same thing happened the morning after that. For 84 years, every morning, she woke up into a world where this person that she loved and that she had devoted herself to, that she had wanted to spend her life with, that person was gone. Every day, every morning, she woke up into that world. Her response to that kind of loneliness, that kind of aching grief, her response was to go to the temple of God, to never leave the temple. So the important thing to know about the temple in the nation of Israel is that the temple was the place where God had caused his name to dwell. Okay? It was the place where God had caused his presence to dwell. So the temple was this physical representation of the presence and the Spirit of God. In fact, in the desert, when Israel was walking around, they built the tabernacle. Remember? They had a tent that they could pack up and move from place to place. It was called a tabernacle. The word tabernacle means to dwell with. And so that's what the temple was. The temple was a place where the Holy Spirit of God, the representation of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God dwelt with the people of Israel. There was a place where the Spirit of God's presence was made manifest among the people. And so when Anna experienced grief and loss, what she did was she turned her heart to God, and then she spent her life in the presence of God. She drew close to God. She proactively sought out God. She proactively sought to know God more. And the way we can respond to hurt and grief and sorrow and loss in our lives is to devote ourselves to knowing God. Look, one of my favorite shows on TV was This Is Us. It just ended. Not like, anybody here watch This Is Us on TV? You have some This Is Us watchers? It's okay to raise your hand if you do. Right? It's a great show. I love that show. There's a guy on that show named Randall. He's my favorite character, okay? And Randall was one, if you haven't watched the show, the whole show kind of revolved around these triplets, right? And Randall was one of the triplets, okay? But he was a little different from the other two. Randall had been abandoned as a baby on the day that he was born, and this family had adopted him into their family as one of, they had just had two babies, right? And they adopted Randall into their family as a third baby. And so he was one of the triplets, right? He was one of the big three, they call him, all throughout the show. So Randall's this amazing character in the show. But Randall, eventually, he gets to meet his birth father. And they have this beautiful relationship that is restored between the two of them, and they're able to kind of rebuild their relationship a little bit, you know. But then in the show, Randall's birth father falls ill, and eventually he dies. And when he dies, it's shattering for Randall, who had already experienced the loss of his adopted father in a house fire when he was younger. And so when his birth father dies, it was shattering to him. His life kind of unravels, and he has all these kind of crazy things happen, and he even is wrestling with his identity. If you watch the show, you know what I'm talking about. He's asking these questions like, who am I, really? And I, the thing that was so powerful for me as I was watching that is that's often what loss does to us. When we experience great loss in our lives, it kind of shakes us to the foundation, doesn't it? And sometimes it makes us even question who we are. And we wonder what our identity really is. And we wonder how we're supposed to organize or structure our lives. And we just kind of can come unglued for a period of time as we're dealing with like earth-shattering loss like that, right? And what I want to say to you this morning is that I know a little bit of what it's like to experience that. What I would say to you is that when we draw near to the Lord God, when we devote ourselves to knowing Him, the beautiful thing that happens is that as we devote ourselves to knowing Him, He begins to reveal to us who we are. Because the truth is, the reality is that our identity is rooted in Him. And so when our identity is shaken, when our foundation is shaken, we draw near to the Lord God who reminds us. He shows us not just who He is, but who we are. And I would encourage you this morning, if you're struggling, if you're dealing with grief or with loss today, if you're feeling lonely this morning, you can devote yourself to the Lord God. You are not alone. His presence, His very presence is with you. And He'll show Himself to you. He'll reveal Himself to you. And He'll help you understand who you are too. Next thing is to live a life of worship. Live a life of worship. If you look at the end of that passage in verse 37, it says, she never left the temple but stayed there day and night. Well, what was she doing? Worshiping God with fasting and prayer. So what we learn about Anna in this passage is that her life had become, it was oriented around times of worship with God. The rhythm of her life was ordered around these times of fasting and of prayer and of worship. That's how she had structured her life, was around worship, the worship of God. And so her response to grief and to loss and to sorrow in her life was just to focus on God, to devote herself to Him, and then to orient her whole life around giving Him praise, around worshiping Him. That's what she did. Now, let me say something, and this is an important thing for you and I to wrestle with, but clearly she's doing this in the midst of grief and sorrow, in the midst of a difficult time. And what we see in Scripture, and this is why I love Scripture so much, because Scripture doesn't ask us to pretend like grief isn't there, like sorrow isn't there, like we're not going through difficult times. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 13. And in the psalm, the psalmist is crying out to the Lord, how long, Lord, will you turn your back on me? It feels like you've forsaken me. How long will you leave me? How long will my enemies torment me? How long will I continue to experience failure and defeat over and over again? The psalmist crying out to the Lord, asking these questions. He's in a terrible, terrible situation in a time in his life. It's dark, right? And then in verse 5 of Psalm 13, the psalmist says this. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. And then this, I will sing to the Lord because He is good to me. I wrote a song based on this psalm. I wrote it for my friends, Dennis and Susan. Their daughter Katie was born with severe birth defects, and the doctors didn't think that she would live even a few hours after she was born. She did, though. She did. She lived for years. I knew her when she was a six-year-old, when she was in kindergarten, this precious, beautiful, amazing young woman. She had all kinds of physical challenges. She had to go for dialysis all the time. Neither one of her kidneys worked. I mean, all kinds of major health challenges. And when she was in the eighth grade, she passed away. I was with my friend Dennis. I was with my friend Dennis when he got a call from the doctor that, where the doctor told him that no one in the family would be able to give her a kidney so that she could be transplanted. There was no way she could get a kidney transplant. The antibodies in her body, she built up so many from all the blood transfusions that she'd had that she couldn't have a kidney transplant. And they knew at that moment when they heard that news, they knew that that meant eventually that she was going to pass away. That meant she had 6 months to a year. And a year later, she died. I was sitting in his office when he got that phone call. And we wept together and we cried together. And I walked out of his office and I wrote a song based on the psalm that we had been reading right before he got that phone call, Psalm 13. My friend Dennis, who's a pastor, what he and his wife did in response to that was they worshiped. They oriented their lives around the worship of God. And friends, all of us, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, right, our lives were meant to be oriented around the worship of God. When our lives are oriented around the worship of God, then even when we go through dark or painful or difficult things, we know that we're not alone because God is with the lonely. And I want to encourage you this morning. What is your life oriented around today? Is it around your marriage? Is it around your kids? Is your life oriented around your career? What's your life oriented around today? Here's the thing. If our lives are oriented around anything other than God, they're oriented around temporal things. And sometimes grief, sometimes a part of grief is the realization that we've oriented our lives around something that will not last forever. The only steady thing that you and I can orient our lives around, the only thing that lasts forever, is God Almighty. And this morning, maybe God's calling you, maybe God's calling me to orient our lives around Him because He's not going anywhere. Because He is ever present, because He's omnipresent, He's omniscient, He's all powerful, He's all of those things. And when our lives are oriented around Him, they will not be shaken. That doesn't mean we don't struggle, that doesn't mean we don't grieve. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. Because our foundation is in Christ. And that's what the coming of Jesus meant to Anna. That His promise was true. His word was being fulfilled. Now listen. I mean, I understand how painful and how difficult all of that is. But I want to ask you, what if the tent poles of your life were worship of God, was the worship of God? What if the center of your life was the worship of God? How would your life look different? How would it feel different? And let me say something else to you this morning. Listen, when we turn to God in our loneliness and grief, right, God has promises for you and I. All right, look, if you would, at verse 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 38 says this. It says, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So here is Anna. Here is Anna for 60-something years. We don't know how long, right? She's married for 7 years, and then after that, she lived till she was 84. So for decades, she's been in the temple, orienting her life around the worship of God and dealing with the hardship and the difficulty of this life by turning herself, devoting herself to God. That's who she's been. And what we see in this passage is that when we choose that, when we choose to devote ourselves to God, there are promises for you and I. The first one is this: we will see God. We will see God when we turn our heart to God. When we devote ourselves to knowing Him, God's promise is true. He is going to reveal Himself to us. That's what happened with Anna. In the midst of her grief, in the midst of her sorrow, in the midst of a lifetime, right, spent without this person that she was supposed to spend the rest of her life with, in the midst of all of that, right, the Lord God promises to her. The Lord God makes promises to her, and He fulfills them. He shows up. He reveals Himself to her. She sees the Savior. She lays eyes on the Savior. She sees Him. And friends, I want you to know that that's who God is for you and I this morning too. God's not trying to hide from you. God's not trying to veil Himself from you. He wants for you to know Him. He wants for you to experience Him. His promise for you this morning is if you turn to Him, if you devote yourself to Him, if you live your life in worship to Him, you will experience Him. He's going to reveal Himself to you. And I want you to hear that. That's who our God is. That's what He wants to do. So you can expect that. You can expect for that promise to be fulfilled in your life. Do you guys know it said, or you probably missed this, but in the passage, Anna's father's name. Did you see what it was? It was Phanuel. You know what Phanuel means? Phanuel means the face of God. It was written into the DNA of her family that she was going to experience the presence of God. And it's written into your DNA as well. That's what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And if we devote ourselves to Him, we will see Him. Our grief can culminate in the glorious rescue of God. Our loneliness can lead us to coming face to face with God. That's what happened with Anna. She might not have experienced that if in response to her grief and loss, if she hadn't devoted herself to God, if she hadn't pursued relationship with God, and if she hadn't lived in worship of God, she might not have experienced this moment. But not only that, we'll see God, but listen to this, we will testify. We will see God and we will testify. I don't know if you saw this, but Anna tells everyone that she sees after this, every person who's been expectantly waiting for the Messiah to come, she tells them all about the child. She goes around to everyone she can see, and she tells them about Jesus and about His coming. And listen, up until this point, the story of her life had been this: my husband died, I'm a widow. That was the story of her life, was this loss that she'd experienced, this grief that she had borne. But friends, what happened when she oriented her life around God, when she devoted herself to the worship of God, what happens is she sees the Savior, and then the story of her life becomes something totally else. It's the story of her life is not what she's lost. The story of her life is what she's gained. The story of her life becomes, I saw the Lord. I placed my hands on His face. I touched Jesus, the Savior. That becomes the story of her life. And all of human history doesn't know her as Anna, the widow. They know her as Anna, the one who saw the Lord God and testified to His goodness. That's who she is now. And I want you to know something. I need you to hear this morning. That's the story that God wants to write in you. That's the story He wants to write in me. And so often when we bear great loss, when we walk through great grief, right? When we experience great sorrow, we think, this is going to be my story. But friends, it will not. It will not be. The promise of God this morning is that our story will be about His rescue. And that's what we'll be known for. Because of His mercy and because of His goodness. I think we get this whole thing mixed up sometimes. I think we think of Anna's purpose in life, right? Her calling, as this last episode. And we don't know how long she lived after this. Maybe not very long. She was pretty old, right? But here's the thing. We think about these last few moments and we think, well, that was Anna's calling. That was her purpose. And sometimes we think about our lives that way. What's our calling? What's our purpose? But I think that's backwards. See, Anna's calling and Anna's purpose was to go to the temple and never leave. Was to devote herself to knowing God, turning her heart to God, devoting herself to knowing God, orienting her life around the worship of God. That was her calling. And because she fulfilled that calling in her life, because she devoted her life to worshiping God, then God was able to use her in this amazing way. This thing that happened at the end of her life was just an overflow of the faithfulness that she'd experienced, the faithfulness that she had that she had exhibited in her relationship with God up to that point. It all happened as a result of her commitment to the Lord God. And I want to speak briefly to the young people that are here in this room, because many of you are wrestling with, who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? What does God have for me in my life? Some of you are really wrestling with that right now. And this is what you think, and this is how we get it so messed up. We think, when we think about who am I supposed to be, this is what we think. What career path am I supposed to choose? That's what we think. And look, I believe that God is going to use you in whatever career path that is he's going to take you into. But if that's where you're finding your identity, can I just tell you, it's going to let you down. It's going to disappoint you. It's going to break you if that's where you're rooting your identity. That's not God's call on your life. Your vocation, what you choose a vocation, not nearly as important to God as your devotion to God. That's the calling. The calling that God has placed on your life is very simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Our challenge, our job this morning is to figure out how to live that calling out. How do we pour ourselves into devotion and relationship with the God of the universe? When we do that, His will is going to happen in our lives out of the overflow of our devotion to Him and His faithfulness to us. And that's the story God wants to write on your heart and in your life today. That's the story. Will you let Him? Will you let Him tell the story of His amazing grace and mercy and love and rescue through you? Our worship team is going to come up and we're going to worship together. We're going to sing. We're going to sing and testify actually to our love for Jesus. We're just going to talk about our love for Jesus in this song. But here's the thing. The fact of the matter is that there's some of us here this morning who are struggling. Some of us here this morning who are going through really difficult and painful times. And as we sing the words to this song, you're going to have to sing them as an act of will. You're just going to have to sing them out and pray that as you sing them, God will make them true in your heart. But this is step one. Turn your heart to God. Maybe that's what someone needs to do here this morning. There's going to be some other folks here this morning and you're far from God. You are far from God, and you've been far from God for a while. You're not seeking after God. In fact, you've been running from God, and you've been involved in some things in your life that are destructive and hurtful. And as you get to this moment in your life, the Lord is just showing you right now that He wants for you to be close to Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to pour His love out on you. And it's just time for you to stop fighting. Stop resisting the love of God this morning and just receive it. And as we're singing this song, I pray that the words of this song, as you sing them, that it will break down the barriers you've built to keep the love of God away from you, to push the presence of God away from you. I pray it break those barriers down. And you would draw close to Him this morning. And He could whisper to you of His great love for you. Let me pray. Father, we love Christmas. Christmas is awesome, and Christmas is about so many wonderful things. Lord, we love to give gifts. We love to receive gifts. We get excited about Santa Claus and reindeer and all kinds of amazing other things that happen. Our families around this time of year, we love Christmas. But God, the truth that's hanging over all of us this morning is the truth of the love of that You exhibited when You sent Your Son Jesus for us. And that love is chasing after us. That love is reaching after us this morning. And so many of us, God, so many of us here this morning, today is the day that we've got to just surrender to it. Would You give us the courage and the strength to do that? Would You help those of us who are grieving, who are hurting, who are mourning? Would You help those of us who are going through all of that this morning to find our strength in You and in Your love? God, Your love's like a hurricane. Your love's like a hurricane, and I'm like a tree that's bending beneath the weight of Your grace and mercy. Your love is overwhelming us this morning. Help us to sense it, to experience it, and to surrender to it this morning. Love. Love that was embodied in the tiny, fragile figure of an infant, wrapped tightly in cloths and laid in a feeding trough. Love that came for us. Thank you, Jesus.